We assume because we westernized. There's a lot of people out there with pain that know that they are going to be judged. They can feel it. They can sense it. They sense the wrath of God in them. And we must help them why they feel that. Now, I can tell you, love's not going to fix it. Telling people that God loves them because they feel like that is not going to fix it. There's a reason Christ died for them. So sometimes, culturally, we assume. We should stop with the assumptions. And then, 5, Scripture needs to interpret Scripture. One of the places, in Joshua for instance, God tells Joshua 3 times, be courageous. Now, like one preacher said, God doesn't have a speech impediment. So when he says something 3 times, he means it. So when God talks in the Gospels about hell a lot, there's a reason. There's a reason God says the word hell a lot in the Old Testament. In the New Testament. There's a reason God talks about his judgment a lot. There's a reason that God not only talks about his love, but demonstrates his love. Jesus didn't talk about his love a lot. He demonstrated it. Why? Because God, Jesus, human form, represented something of the Father's heart that we don't get. And I want to challenge us this morning. How dare we, me included, let so many people die and go to hell, and we don't tell them that they have something to do with the Holy God? How dare we make sin so cheap? Christ paid with his blood for each and every one of us. Regularly people go to hell, and there's so many Christians going to church casually. These are the stuff that I've been praying through. God, either something's going to change, and you're going to walk into your church and you're going to overturn tables again. You're going to make a whoop and you're going to talk to us, because judgment starts at your house, and when you clean in your house. And I was talking to Sylvie this morning. The reason why what happened to this church here in the UK happened, it's because of idolatrous relationships. Too many people were too intertwined with each other. There wasn't room for other people to come in. There wasn't room for the people of the UK to come in. And so God will use any means to scatter people so that the gospel can be preached. He'll stop visas. He'll give people other jobs. He'll just scatter them. Until Acts chapter 8, the whole church was Jewish. And then God would use a guy called Saul to persecute the church so that they... Now, all I'm saying, praise God, he didn't use persecution to scatter the church here. He just used visas and new jobs. And God frustrated a lot of people. God frustrated the living daylights out of a lot of people. Why? Because the church became more important than the Christ that planted the church and to preach the gospel. So I'm wanting to settle that this morning. It's heavy on my heart. I didn't know I was going to go there. It's not part of what we do. But I think it's important that we set the record straight. Let Christ speak for himself and interpret the scriptures accordingly. Don't pity the one attribute of God to the other attribute. Read the scriptures for what it is. Demonstrate what Christ is wanting us to do and see people. And we're going to need courage to do this. I can tell you. You're not going to... Listen to what I'm saying now. When you want to change a culture, you don't need love. You need courage. You need courage to say the things that needs to be said. When everybody plays ostrich, we need to say this stuff. And we need to demonstrate it, obviously, in love. And listen, we must love sinners. And we must love one another. But we don't love sinners and love one another and play ostrich. Scripture in Ephesians says we speak the truth in love. Scripture talks about it's the goodness and severity of God in Hebrews. The goodness and severity of God that challenges us. We've got to get this message out there. It's not an if or a when. It's a now issue. There's a lot of challenges that we're going to face, and so many churches are going to face. And I can tell you this. When Satan has offended so many believers, do you know what he does? He prospers them. I've seen it in my years of ministry. Once a believer is offended, the devil prospers him. And then he leaves him. Because you know what? Jesus says, it's hard, it's very hard to win an offended brother. He walks away. I mean, there's so many people I can talk about that should be here, that don't want to be here because they are offended. But I can tell you what. The devil had done what he had to do. Now he's going to prosper them. And they're doing good. But they're walking all around. And it's that scary place that brings me to where I'm at today. And just in my walk with God. Guard your heart. Because it's deceitful above all things. It will tell us all the beautiful stuff, but I can assure you, we get lost in translation. We get lost in where we shouldn't be. And Christ isn't there. And you know what? We lack courage. Some of us lack courage here because we don't want to say these things. We don't want to embrace these things anymore. If we want to change this culture, we've got to be courageous. We've got to stand up. And God has always, through the ages, elevated the pulpit for people to preach the gospel. We can get all our lights, we can get our slideshow and our announcements. God, since the beginning of time, has used preachers to preach the gospel. He will continue to elevate the pulpit. Not just for pastors, but for everybody that's willing to preach the gospel. This just amplifies sound because crowds get too big. This helps those who can't read to see. We had a lady. Oh, God bless her soul. She came in, back in Worcester. She was in this home called House of Hope. It was a home for abused women. And her husband, when he was drunk, would used to beat her and then sexually rape her in front of his drinking buddies every time. That was her life. She couldn't handle it anymore. She ran away. She came to us. She was in small group with men, Almri. Elderly lady. 60. Had to leave school because of apartheid. Couldn't study. Couldn't read nor write. And by the time she got to us in small group, we started trusting her so that she said she wanted to go to school. She wanted to do a matric, you know, grade 12. And we said, yes, we'll help you. We'll help you. We prayed for her. And after a while, as she was doing her exams and the evening classes, we started asking her, so why do you want to educate yourself? Why? You know what her answer was? I don't want people to read the Bible for me anymore. I want to read it myself. That was a wise lady. I'm not going to say her name. And then when she could start reading her first sentences, she would come and tell us, I read Genesis chapter 1. I'm learning the ABCs. I know these words. But you know, she had such respect for what the scripture says. You know, nobody wakes up one morning and says, I don't like this Christian business anymore. Nobody wakes up and say one morning, you know, I don't want to be, I think I want to be gay. Nobody wakes up like that. And just before you think I'm just babbling here, we have a family member close to us that were lesbian. And she came with a partner to me in Elmery's house and she asked us, Carlos, what we're doing, is it wrong? And we had to tell her, you know, you're very close to us, but this relationship, it's not of the Lord. God's not going to bless it. Thank God now she has broken off that relationship. She wants a gentleman so seriously, but they so scarce nowadays. Serious, God-fearing gentlemen, they so scarce. I know we don't know where to find them, but we're going to find them here. We will. I promise. I'm praying into it. You know, and yes, and you know, today she's in ministry. where another boy came to our home from the college, and we could just see he liked men, but he ate with us, he hanged out with us, always came to church. We told him the truth. He could see in our marriage. There's another boy in Shofar Vista. So we worked with people like that. So when I say stuff like that, I'm not asking you to do things that I'm not willing to do. I'm not saying things that I'm expecting you to go the extra mile. I'm willing to go the extra mile, as long as it's around the truth. And this is why I say, and I'm using those examples because I want to explain to you, nobody wakes up one morning and says, I don't want to be part of the church anymore. Do you know how it starts? It starts with a lie. And the way the world's painting lies nowadays, it is just scary. How dare we keep quiet when we know this is a lie in front of us? Why don't we represent the truth? Scripture doesn't say, be transformed by changing your behavior. Scripture says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, take out the lies, put in the truth. The lies will conform, but truth will transform. We're in the transformation business with Christ. We can't change people, but we can sure speak the truth in love. And so the one girl that was lesbian, I mean, we walked her out with her. She got right. We even made her a small group leader because she said, because that's what me and Elmery do. We wanted to help lay alive. And then it started happening after a year and a half, missing small group. Busy here, busy there. And then she started dodging us. Then we just rang her up, hey, what's happening? I'll do Bible school by the internet, and I'm actually now at Yule Songs in Cape Town. I'm serving there, and we're like, why are you surprising us like this? And we invested so much in you. We just want to talk about this. Can we talk about this? Can we talk about it? And now I'm serving in and I'm just cool, and we knew something was wrong. And 3 weeks ago, the photos appeared on Facebook, married to another lady. That's what happened. And we are not going to do discipleship like that. We're going to do discipleship in a way where we sit down with people and we talk to them about the things that matters. People rather be offended with me or with a brother that's sincere and want to talk to you than one day standing in front of Christ and you can't explain yourself. It starts with a lie. And lies are running around this world rampant. It scares me what believers believe. It worries me what young Christian men believe about relationship. It worries me that married couples believe about the gospel and about Christ. It worries me some evenings I can't sleep of how cheap people make the gospel. And they're working further and further from the truth. And a lie works like this. As soon as the plane has been hijacked, you don't know where you fly to. You're in SAA. You're hearing the good music, or you're in British Airways. You hear the Hollies. You hear Aha, Take On Me. You know all those songs that we know that gives us just a reminiscing. But the only problem is we're flying to the desert. We only know we're in trouble when the plane lands and we get out and everything smells like curry. Then we know we're in the wrong place. And we hear other music. Allahu Akbar. Then we know, oh my word, I'm not at my destination. Because my plane has been hijacked. I'm landing in another place. I was supposed to go to Heathrow, London. Now I am in Karachi, taken captive by a thought. That's how lies work. Lies. It's subtle. I just felt I wanted to share that with you this morning because our ministry needs to kick into a new gear now. That's what I believe Christ is saying to us as a church. If you're offended with a few things that I've said this morning, please contact me. I want to sit down and have a serious coffee talk. I didn't do this to offend anybody. I did this because I know and I really believe this is on the heart of Christ. And we don't chicken out. We don't. I don't understand it, how people drop other people and just leave. I don't get it. My dad didn't teach it to me. Yamri's dad didn't teach it. My dad started at a school, 19 years old. He started at the school. His first paycheck was 75. He left that school when he was 64, the same school. He only missed school 15 days for sickness and 1 year to do his fourth year. Elmery's dad worked for the same company 40 years as an engineer. He started in grade 9, standard 7, building those two cooling towers next to the N2 that was demolished a few years ago. Her dad started on that. We don't know about chickening out. We don't know about you, my friend, now and tomorrow, and you're not my friend. We're not people. You're saying something nasty and I'm walking with it. You know, I'm upset, so I'm walking. We don't know that. We don't understand that. We understand covenant relationships. And that's what I'm saying. If we need to have coffee, then we need to talk. Because everybody sitting in this church has been bought with the blood of Christ. It's not cheap. So I'm willing to fight for every relationship, even if people are angry and nasty with me. And you know how many people have taken liberties coming into our home and then just saying nasty stuff to me and Elmer? Because they are like that. And then I allow them to talk. And it's fine. But as long as we have the same respect, that we can have a conversation about this. And why we don't do it a certain way. And why we don't say things like that. I mean, 2 weeks ago, people responded. Someone responded to altar call and came the altar call and said, I'm responding to the altar call because you're offended with us. And we're like, what the heck is going on here? We like you. Oh no, sorry, I'm actually offended with you. Okay, let's talk about it. Sit down and talk about why. And it was a beautiful conversation. It continues and we'll continue to fight. But what I want to get rid of is all the lies that's running around. There's too many lies, too many stuff saying in secret, in rooms. And God says, whatever you hear in the dark, proclaim it from the rooftops. Let the truth get out there. Because it changes life. Come on, love. So is this your day? You want to? Should we do that? You've seen those challenges.
Good morning, everybody. Let's stand quickly. Good. You can sit down. You may sit down. Yes, good morning from my side. I know it's cold. And thanks for your courage. And I would really like to encourage you and to practice the courage, the word that Carlos was just sharing. And yes, I can agree. It wasn't a rebuke. I really felt that it was God speaking to each one of us. And so yes, if you go home to pray about it and speak to the Lord about it. But yes, from my side and Carlos' side, it's good to have you here this morning. And I really hope that you're going to have a blessed morning in the presence of God and with each other. And just a few announcements from my side, just to remind you, if there's some of you that that may think that me and Carlos, we are following another calendar, we are not. We know that you are tired. We know that most of you are tired and physically tired, but just stay with us. We'll get there. The next two Wednesdays, we will have Colliding Kingdoms with Past Fred DVDs that we are going to watch. So please, if you can be there, please do so. If not, please talk to us so that we can can work it through with you in some other time as well. And then just a reminder about the Bible school, Bible school 1 and 3 students. Carlos will speak to you in the meantime. I'm not quite sure, but yeah, he will speak to you in the meantime about when, where, and how, the practicalities about the Bible school that will follow. Okay, and then next Sunday, the 11th of December, we will have Thanksgiving Sunday. So please come with your testimonies, come with what God has done for you as an individual, and also for us as a church, so that we can testify in the presence of God about the goodness of God. Okay, are you still here with us? Amen. Thanks.
Thanks, love. That will be the last 2 Wednesdays, and then we'll take a break. On Wednesday, we're also going to give the calendar through just for December. I think the last service will be the 25th. It's on Sunday. And then we won't have Sunday services. And after the 17th, I think that's the last small group. Then no more small group. Just taking a break. Enjoy just the time driving around. Enjoy time spending with your family. And then we'll see each other. I'll talk to you the 3rd year. We will start early next year again. And yeah, it's a bit new for me seeing what ticks and what happens. So in South Africa, where I came from, we were a college town and a lot of teachers and professionals. So Vista gets quiet during this time of the year. It seems to me things pick up here. And then there's places again like Ceres. They like, you know, because it's harvest time. So during December, things go. But in April, they quiet again. So I'm trying to find the rhythm of what's happening here and just seeing church-wise. It seems to me, and the people that I spoke to, that people do Christmas is big here. So we want to preach the gospel. We've got the kiddies church with the nativity play and all that. So I'm excited for what God's doing. But I also want to give you a break. So I think we'll have a small break every December, something, and then a big break for people in the summer. We will have no small group and no church. Just you know, be with God. Just be with Him. Spend time with Him. Read the Bible back to back. Come back refreshed. So the same now for this break that we're going to have here after that last small group. No small group till next year. Just go and read the Bible on a Wednesday. Sundays that we're not going to have services, just enjoy. But this morning, I quickly just want to talk about something that it's our first time visitor Sunday. This was something that we've planned, and it's a rhythm that we need to get into. And why is it a rhythm? So, first time visitor Sunday, we're going to have it regularly from now on. And it's just the place where we talk about us and why we do what we do from different angles. There's lots of angles that we can take. But, you know, God wants us to talk about stuff like that because He blesses a home in a certain way. There's certain values in Ian and Margot's house that's their values that they live by. And when you get to their place, we respect those values and we do as they ask of us, you know. But the same works with church. And way back when Pastor Fred and the soul started, you know, when they got married, it was actually a few months after the apartheid law was abolished, so that interracial marrying could take place. So his friends actually told him, "Lukie, you're crazy, you shouldn't do it." He said, "No, God's going to change this law for me." God actually changed the law for him. He believed God for it, so they abolished it. So they were a multiracial couple, black. And those times, they would have thought he's black because he's a bit darker. I'm a bit lighter, so I'm colored black. But anyway, don't let that confuse you. But you know, when they got married, it was actually in Stellenbosch. Now, Hendrik Verwoerd went to study in Germany, and that's where he got the idea of apartheid. So he came back, he implemented it, and most of the laws of apartheid was written on Stellenbosch. So a lot of scholars, they don't want to believe, but that's what happened. So I want you to think of this multiracial couple in Stellenbosch now, the place where apartheid was written, it was hell for them. I mean, they lost 2 cars. A week, imagine a week before your marriage, they push your car over a cliff. What do you do? You know, Why am I sharing that with you? I want to talk to you about the resilience that came with their marriage and how they prayed. Before that, before he got married, there's a place at Stellenbosch they call the Hut, the Hole, where he came with a band, and as he was playing with the band, they just booed him. Did you know how Fred talks? When Fred speaks Afrikaans, so in those days, you made your gig, you booked your gig via telephone. Yeah, and Fred sounds like an Afrikaner when he speaks Afrikaans. I praat mos so mooi, you know, he's rounding. So they thought, oh, this Fred May, he must. So when they saw this guy's black, oh man. So they booed him. It was a very bad experience for him. And he said he left Stellenbosch saying to God, God, I'll never come back there, which is our first lesson this morning. Never say never to God. Please don't say never to God. It's like God smiling here, right? You know, and he had to come back. And he started this ministry with him, and they prayed a lot. And I believe Fred and Lucille's marriage was a prophetic statement about the church in South Africa. That's important for us to know here. It was a prophetic statement for our nation, but it was a prophetic statement for the church as well. And so we are a prophetic church. We do things like that. Why? Because it's just part of who our leaders are. That's just it. If you would go check out all the churches that the apostles planted, you would soon find out that there's something about that apostle in that person. It's the 12 tribes of Israel. That's why we have that S. Where is it on the show for the S? It's actually 12 lines. Representing the 12 tribes of Israel, representing the 12 thrones of judgment that goes into these contours. That was the reason behind the design. So they started it there, and then they started ministering to all the rich people's kids that were drug addicts. And basically what happened is Fred used to work as a journalist, thank you. And then at evening he would preach to these kids. They got saved, healed, delivered. That's how the ministry started. Small, and we got saved. And most of our churches, not most, all of our churches started like this. We're a small group of people like we are. We get people saved. We don't do a big show and says that's the lawns of our church. No. We start like Jesus started. Jesus is our model. He starts with 12 guys. Picks them up from the road. Does all the hardcore work with them, spends time with them, live with them, lays down his life. He does that. The prayer sessions, and then, you know, as they were worshiping, somebody just asked them one day, look, you know, who are you? And somebody spontaneously just said, we show up. That's how it started. And then God gave us this vision to reach nations and generations. That's what we believe God has given us. Every family derives its name from the Father in heaven. That's what Ephesians says. I believe every family should have a vision, and you should have values. My family's vision is as simple as this. Every one of them must find their place in what God has, what God has called them to do and me. And we preach the gospel. That's my vision for my family. And leave a legacy of people that can preach the gospel. That's our motto. That's our lifestyle. And with Carla going through immense emotional changes now and asking questions, the only thing that I can say, Carla, this is not your home. Your friends here and whatever you did in South Africa, it's not going to give you peace. Your peace lies with Christ. You must start looking at the eternal perspective, my daughter. I know it's difficult. I know, no, I'm going to cry with you. In fact, me and my mom, we cry for you. But the best that we can tell you now, whatever you want on earth here will never be enough to satisfy your time. And in the evenings when we woke up, the light's still on. She's reading the Bible every evening. She doesn't go to bed, and I'm saying, God, whatever she reads, let the scripture stuck. because there's nothing else that I can give my daughter. Nothing. Nothing's going to make her happy except the eternal perspective of Christ being our first love forever. And so these are the first fruits for us. It's the only thing that I can give her. And I was telling the two of them yesterday, girls, you are quarreling here, but I just want to say it's tough for all four of us. It's not just tough for you here. Can we have respect for each other and pray for each other instead of doing this? And I had to talk to them about it. But that's what we do. That's what our vision is about. And so, let's just watch. Plain enough. Reach nations, generations, through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 to 3 says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. That's what scripture says about vision. And when I saw your sister on one of those videos yesterday, I went through it. I cried a lot yesterday looking through it. Because this is a godly thing. This just didn't fall out of the air. There's so many people on these videos that's not with us anymore. For various reasons. But the vision is plain, it's written. Everybody that wants to run with it can run with it. We don't have to doubt that it is it of God, isn't it of God? It's of God. There comes a time in one's life when you have to sit. Me and my wife last year, when we were sitting, when we were badly overworked and badly tired. You need the body to heal you. There's a lot of Christians that don't want to hear about it. You need the body to heal. There's just no way around it. I was sitting there and I was looking at the church, and we were away for 2 weeks. And the church didn't miss us. Not in a bad sense. Church went on, people got saved. And when we got back, we received, and then God said, now you allow the people of this house to heal. Because I use people to bring healing. But the vision is plain. For us, it will be through disciple making, leadership development, and church building. It's God given. And then I just quickly want to run through the purpose to pursue, the power of belief, the people to serve, and the passion for Jesus. Those four. Why purpose to pursue? Exodus chapter 9:16. God just says, look here, I've put my purpose in your heart. Just remember, God puts his purpose in your heart. Your greatest contention will always be, and my greatest contention will always be, God, I have a purpose and you have a purpose. Which gets preference? We have to wrestle that through with God. And we do that purpose in church through a declaration and a proclamation. God's purpose for our lives. And we help you to get there through the encounters and the Bible school. That's how we allow you to get there. And the foundations. The second one is the power of belief. In other words, power of belief is, do you believe that we belong together spiritually? We knit together as a covenant. It's not cheap relationships. God bought us with his blood. That's why we're all here. He knew in eternity past that you would sit here. I would stand here. He knew it. He even knew, Trev, that you were going to sit like you're sitting now. He knew it in eternity past. He's not surprised by what's happening here. The power of belief. John chapter 11 verse 40 says, we belong, that's how we belong together. And the key is the Holy Spirit. That's why we do have altar calls. That's why we do sing to God. Why? Because we want to show the world that we belong to Him. That's the power of our belief. The key is the Holy Spirit. Our celebration services. Why do we have a church service? We have a church service to show people we belong to God. If we do church services for any other reason, we shouldn't have it. That's why we have Kiddies Church. To tell our kids, it's not for you to go there so that your parents can have a break. No. You go to church because you belong to Him. You're His. He alone can decide what can happen with your life. You have a choice if you want to decide what you want to do. But just remember then, you're walking away from what He wants you to do. That's why we have small groups. We're not a church with small groups. We're a small group church. Whatever we can't settle here around the coffee table, we sit in small group and we talk about it there. We cry together. We laugh together. We get angry there and irritated with each other. But we never run away. We always come back to sit down and talk about it. That's how we do life. That's how I know. That's the only way I know life. And I thank my parents for teaching me it. So by the time I got to Shofar, I just felt, this feels like my home. There's something familiar here. And I can understand if a lot of people didn't have it at home and it was difficult for them. It's difficult for people to come and understand. Do we have? Wow! Do we have to do church? There's this lady, she came from another church. She was one of the first time members. She just said to me, Carlos, I never knew church was meant to be like this. I never knew about the washing of the feet after encounter too. I never knew that people go at such lengths just to show them each other's hearts. I don't know church like this, but Carlos, I like it. Jackie, that's from England. Jackie's like, this is like church for me. She doesn't know anything else. This is church. Our ceremonies, new member ceremonies, baby dedications, marriage, funerals, baptisms, it all says we belong to God. That's the power of our belief. And then people to serve. John 15 verse 17. Love one another. Leadership happens when we commit to serve and grow other people. I'm going to say it again. Leadership happens when we commit to serve and grow others. Do you know how many conferences and stuff is out there where we commit to serve ourselves and our own visions and not others? How the gospel is being perverted and getting everything right so that it can be good for me and how it will suit me and how it would lift me up. But Jesus says, we grow other people. When we commit to serving someone else and growing that person to become great, that's when leadership and life starts. So we do that through Prochorus, Kibwe Kids, Community Keepers, Inspire to Become, Bridging Abilities. We have student ministry, kids ministry, youth ministry, family ministry. That's all there. It's just a commitment to make other people grow. And we should never deviate from that. We lay our lives down for other people to grow. You know how many times I found myself when my children were sick in South Africa, and then you pray, God, please just heal them. And then one day God just said, okay, so you just want them to get healed so that you can go on with your life. And it was true. Sometimes we just become so childish, we need the miracle so that we can get a break. But when you read the scriptures, when those parents went to Jesus, Jesus, come heal my daughter, please. There was nothing in it for you. It was really about the miracle of his daughter. Sometimes we just get so selfish. But it's about other people. And then the last one, passion for Jesus. Matthew 28:19. Go and make disciples. A passion for Christ to proclaim the unadulterated gospel. Not the gospel of this age that Paul says. Paul says there's a gospel that's being preached. It's the gospel of this age. It's not the true gospel, but this one. That is what we run and believe in and do. We have a passion for Christ. A raw passion just to show Christ and show the world this is Jesus. Not the Jesus we want to create. Not the Jesus I like or what I want. This is Jesus in His raw form. Meet with Him. He'll radically change your life forever. When I got into ministry, it was one of those moments for me. In that first week I got saved, God just reminded me that He called me to preach. And after that, He didn't say anything again. Sometimes people want so many words, and they're fasting so long. But the problem is actually just they lack courage. God spoke my son, and he reminded me, and my mom used to tell the story, when my friends came to play with me, I would put sticks into the ground, and they would play with my toys, then I would preach to the sticks. And then he would add my mom telling me these stories, I stood with the Bible preaching to the sticks, and all my friends, so I was a weirdo. I was a weird guy because I used to play on my own a lot. Oh, it had to change. When I got married, it had to change. It is so true. God loves it to change us. It's got nothing to do with Elmer. It's just how we changed me. He wanted me just to share who I am and show her who I am. But in that first week, God showed me that. And in that first year, I just told Amory, I believe God is telling us that we must serve Hercules and Milani till we die. That was my words. I told her we were sleeping, and he told her that's what God's saying to us. In that state, Hercules and Milani were the pastor's couple in Vista. And I told her, and I told her we must tell him that. And my wife said yes. So we went to them, and I went to Hercules. I said, Hercules, I feel God said we must serve you till we die. Right here in this church. I said, okay. From there onward, Every opportunity that came my way, I just said, sorry, I can't. I'm here for a reason. DJ opportunities, Radio Buddha, going around the country. I can still remember a guy phoning me in Joburg. They have a massive gig of 15,000 people in this warehouse. They want me to come play. They'll pay for my plane ticket, everything. I said, no, I can't. I mean, I was used to crowds. During these festive season, every Saturday, Friday, you play for between 800 to 2,500 people, depending on how big the venue is, 5,000. So I'm used to crowds. I'm just doing my thing. You know, I said, no, I can't. I don't know where this is, what I need to do. And youth leader, we became youth leaders, parents, we're all part of it. And God took us on this journey. And then I'll never forget it. Hercules phoned me as he wants to talk to us. And I think, that's but now, earlier that year, we were playing squash. And if you haven't played squash a lot, you know how you feel the next day, especially your buttocks. You know, it's really painful. So he says he wants to talk to me. He talks to me. He says, wow, God says he must move to Stellenbosch. I said, okay, I will pray for you. But then later on that year, he wanted to see us again, so he jogs from Bible school about 9:30. Ella wasn't born yet. Was she born already? She's sleeping. We're waiting. So he gets there with food, 9:30 in the evening. He wants to talk with us now. And he just asks, look, we're going to go to Stellenbosch and we want to take the church. What do you promise? 2007. So 2004, that year, I became a permanent worker for our government as a teacher. 4 years into it, I resigned. And again, as I'm resigning, Mr. Moses, we want to pay for you for a bursary so that you can do your doctorate. We'll pay everything. And we're going to give you a raise from where you are now, 15,000 rand. I can say it now. We'll give you a raise, 25,000 rand a month. We'll pay for the studies. You know, all I know is I should be in. I can't take this. Are you crazy? What's wrong with you? Are you cuckoos? It doesn't make sense. Do you smoke something? You know how many things I had to hear? People really thought I smoked stuff. What are you on? It's sick. Went into ministry, and I'm sharing this with you because whatever Christ is going to say to us in these last days, it's not going to be calculated. He It just can't be. Friday I was in Guildford and I really wanted to go to the Academy of Contemporary Music. But to go in there you need to have an appointment and you need to have a pass. So I said, God, I'm going to go in there. I'm not going to be calculated. So I stood there in front of my truck up and then a lady came and she just walked in. So I'm going to walk in. And then students came in with their guitars and stuff. Because I'm praying now at places where we can source musicians. Solving myself, we need a break, man. So I'm praying. And I'm just walking with these students. Man, it's a top class facility. Top class teachers there. And there was this one boy drumming. I prayed for him. He's an awesome drummer. He looked at me, and I'm praying, and I'm looking at him. And then I got to this lady, and I told her, can somebody show me around? She didn't ask me for a pass. She didn't ask what I was doing there. She said she would do it. She took me on this tour. And the reason why I share it, I know what God's going to ask of us right now. It's not going to be calculated anymore. It's going to be gut-wrenching. Stuff that is expecting of us to do. And I want to encourage you to be prophetically obedient. She actually didn't want me to leave. I had to stay for some tea because when the students come out now, then I said, no. And I was lovely walking with the student and talking. So four earrings here and a chain here, one with makeup. Men with makeup, it was cool. Just seeing them and seeing in their eyes, I can see in their eyes they want to talk. They want somebody to talk to. They're looking for role models, they're looking for people. I can see it in their eyes, they want to talk. You ask them questions, what do you do? They're excited. Now I'm a guitar player. I like funk guitaring. This one is amazing. The guy that drummed looked the whole time at me. I was like, sure, that's cool. I could just picture me saying, yeah, we must go for coffee. I have drums at my home. Oh, it's not because we've got this. This is who we are. So Father, we thank you for blessing us with a tremendous vision. So many students from the day of Stellenbosch got saved through this vision. Look where we are today. Today we're here to say thank you. Knit our hearts to what you're doing again. Knit our hearts to where you're going and what you want us to do. Knit our hearts, God. Knit our hearts. Knit our hearts to where you're going, where you're walking. Knit our hearts so that we can follow you. And Father, everybody that walked, just make them walk full circle again to you. Let them come around again to you, those who are offended, those who got hurt, those who are alone. Just knock on the doors of their hearts. We plead, God, we plead for you. Let them turn. Jesus' name.